Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. All right, and I'm going to get there myself. Now, this afternoon, as you know, we're planning to conduct a baptismal service. We're rejoicing to see these dear folks come today to make a public statement of their faith. And what it communicates is the idea that they have come to depend on nothing else for salvation other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Many people get very confused about what the gospel is. They'll think that if I am a good person, then God will accept me. But the Bible teaches us that we can't be accepted on the basis of our own works, because our own good works, although there may be many, are polluted also by our sins. And we all have a consciousness of our sins. We're all aware. You know, people will say, well, I'm not a perfect person. Well, that's true. Nobody is. But the Bible teaches us that because that which causes the imperfection is that which offends God. And so God has a problem in accepting human beings into his kingdom. And that is because he is holy and cannot tolerate sin. And so God solved the problem for us. He sent his Son, as the Bible says, to become sin for us. He sent that the weight of sin would be poured on him. The punishment for sin would go on him. And that would make us free then to receive the gift of eternal life by forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. So our ceremony today is one of the most important steps of the Christian life. It's public. It marks out the individual as a new person, and it means that the one who receives baptism has made a commitment, as I said, to depend on Jesus Christ for salvation and to live for him as a public testimony going forward. Now, I wanted to, as I was thinking about this, and I often wonder what passage to preach on for a baptismal service. A few weeks ago, I was reading this passage with my wife, and I thought this one would be appropriate. Because many people will come to me and experience misgivings about their own commitment to Christ. They're conscious of their own weaknesses. Salvation does not make you perfect, it makes you redeemed. Okay, so that means that we still have a sin nature that we struggle with. We do have the indwelling Holy Spirit who gives us power to be able to live for the Lord. But we are conscious of our own weaknesses, and we are plagued in a sense by our memories, by our own history. And I recall talking some years ago to a young man about Christianity, and he was telling me that he believed all the things I was saying. He says, but I just don't think I can live the life. Well, that comment told me that he did not understand what I was saying. It's not what he can do for himself. It's what Jesus has done for him. Nevertheless, it reflects a misgiving that people have about their own Christian life. The misgiving can result in a spirit of doubting and even depression when people do stumble. They think it's just like it always was. Or I'm trapped by my past. I can't get the victory. Or maybe there's something that comes up. Some person will come back into your life. Some incident will be prompted by a memory, a song, a word, some other incident, and your mind flashes back and you think about something about which you are embarrassed. I think we're all aware of that. It's funny because it's hardly a day goes by and something jars my memory of some stupid thing I did back when I was so brilliant as a teenager or later. Right? And I just think, how could you be so dumb? How could you do such a, you know, whatever it was? So I want to look at a few verses here from 1 Peter, and I'm going to use this as my title and my proposition, the past is past. Right? The past is past. So we're going to read the first four verses of 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Right, so we're going to stop there right in the middle of his thought. I want to say just a few things. So what, first of all, what does the suffering in the flesh mean? It says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh. Well, that's talking about Jesus on the cross. It's talking about dying. All right? And as I said, Jesus is dying not as a sinner, but he's dying instead of sinners. He's the substitute. He's the replacement. And this is the basis of our salvation. All right? So since Christ has died, we could say it that way, arm yourself also with the same purpose. So he's saying that this concept, the death of Christ, is something for the Christian that is like a weapon in your arsenal. Arm yourself with the same purpose. Okay, so let's hang on to that idea. We're to take the death of Christ not only as our salvation, but as something to be useful for us going forward in our Christian life. Now, the idea here is that the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That is, if you are dead, you can't sin. Sort of kind of obvious. I recall some time ago I was listening to a message. This was when I was in college. And the preacher said, you know, if we had a notorious drunkard, we're conducting his funeral, and one of his friends came up to the casket and said, hey, I've got one for you, you know, one for the road. Here, have a little, another drink. Is that corpse going to respond? Well, no, he's dead. He's dead to all of that. And so this is what the apostle is saying. Just as Christ died to sin and he's your substitute, arm yourself with this. And Paul says this in Romans, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The past is past. Jesus died for our past and our present and our future. He's covered our sins. So when we are plagued by doubts about our sins, let's forget them. They're in the past. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. So in this sense, you're already dead in Jesus Christ. So now live your life in the life of Christ. This is so that you can cease from sin. He says, do this so as, verse 2, to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. So here's the goal. No longer am I going to live to indulge my old passions and the old ways, but let's arm our minds, arm our thoughts with the death of Christ, consider ourselves to be dead to sin, and let's live now for the glory and will of God. This is what we're aiming for. And in verse 3 he says, the time is already past. You've had enough of this. You've had more than you need. So the goal is victory over sin. The key verse is verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. And so this is my proposition for you this afternoon. And this is what baptism represents. The past is past. The old life is done. And you are finished with all of that. And you can now live for the glory of God. I hope that encourages especially our new candidates here for the baptism. Rosemary, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes, I have.
Amen. All right, I'm going to move you over just a bit. There we go. Okay. Grab hold of my wrist. All right, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I now baptize you in their name. Got my order messed up. Okay, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Okay. Let me get this hand here.
Okay.
Okay. James, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes, I have.
All right. Very good. Hold there and then grab my wrist with your other hand. Okay. In the name of the Lord, let's see. Based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried with him in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. All right, Kaylee, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes.
All right, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried with him in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. All right.